Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
Hey, mommy.
And Glenn Leverins.
That's how I know. This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Friday, November 3rd. Good morning and welcome back to a brand new hour of Morning Air on the memorial of St. Martin de Porres, the first black saint in America. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for making us a part of your morning, wherever you may be across America and beyond, here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's a joy and it's always a privilege to be with you here this morning as we get ready for the first weekend of the November, which means we'll be turning back the clocks. Yes, and we'll talk about that here in a moment. Let's remember the Sacred Heart of Jesus as well as the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ, something that we try to do every single Friday here on Morning Air. Now, today is the memorial of St. Martin de Porres. He was born in Lima, Peru, and lived a life of prayer, fasting, and penance as a Dominican. Apprenticed at a young age to a barber surgeon, he provided medical care for the poor and the sick of Lima, especially ministering to the black slaves. St. Martin de Porres was devoted to the Blessed Eucharist, and he was a friend of St. Rose of Lima. I also want to remind you that in this month of November here at Relevant Radio, we remember the holy souls in purgatory, our family and friends who have passed from this earthly life. Join us today through November 10th as we continue to pray a special novena for your departed loved ones during daily Mass, the chaplet, and the family rosary. All you have to do is submit the names of all of your deceased friends and family today at relevantradio.com/souls. I did it myself last week, and I took a moment to remember all of my loved ones that I want to absolutely pray for. Now, whether you've known just a few holy souls or a lot, submit them all. There is no limit, no limit, and because they all need our prayers. Go to relevantradio.com/souls this morning to create your list of departed loved ones. We're gathering to pray a novena. It has already started November 2nd through the 10th during Mass at noon Central, the Chapel of Divine Mercy with Drew Mariani and Maggie at 3 p.m. Central, and the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky at 7 p.m. Central. On the air, on the app, and at relevantradio.com. Once again, I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the stories in the headlines this hour on this first Friday morning?
Well, in an effort to find some peace in the Middle East, the U.S. has sent Secretary of State Antony Blinken to Israel. He said he wants to urge Israel's leaders to minimize the toll of war on those caught in the crossfire.
The United States, Israel, other democracies have a responsibility to do everything possible to protect civilians who may be caught in harm's way.
The Secretary of State says he'll push for humanitarian pauses in the action to allow civilians to flee Gaza. Meanwhile, John, the noose kind of continues to tighten around Gaza City, as reportedly Israeli troops now have surrounded the largest city in Gaza and are making headway against Hamas.
Yes, indeed. And there was a report this morning from the IDF that said that its troops had killed a Hamas commander in an overnight airstrike in Gaza and arrested 37 wanted suspects. That battle continues, and maybe a pause would be a really good thing, obviously from a humanitarian perspective, but it also, you pause and Hamas gets time to get themselves reorganized and rearmed.
And remembering Hamas began this round of hostilities by killing over 1,400 Israelis in a surprise attack October 7th, yet on college campuses in many corners of the U.S., pro-Palestinian and even pro-Hamas rallies have taken place, and Congress condemning support for Hamas on college campuses. The House approved a resolution declaring support of Hamas may lead to the creation of a hostile environment for Jewish students, faculty, and staff. And stories from numerous campuses having trouble across the U.S., John.
Glenn, it is shocking. I mean, we have seen
So many protests and some of the rhetoric that's coming out of these college campuses. And we're talking not just a few, we're talking about all across our country, coast to coast. It's really unbelievable that Congress would even have to condemn support for Hamas in a formal way. It's incredible the anti-Semitism that we are seeing. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are just denying the truth of what happened on October the 7th, as you mentioned, you know, 1,400 Israelis, and that included 35 Americans. Let's not forget about them as well. And of course, the 242 hostages that includes as many as 10 Americans among them. So it's a very complicated situation, and we need to continue to pray for peace.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely.
For sure. On a much lighter note, NFL Thursday Night Football last night, Pittsburgh quarterback Kenny Pickett connected with Deontay Johnson for a game-winning 3-yard touchdown pass with just over 4 minutes remaining to send the Steelers to a 2016 win over the Tennessee Titans last night in Pittsburgh. And Glenn, this is something that should be quite exciting down in Arlington, Texas. They are expecting thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of Texas Ranger fans still celebrating their first ever World Series title. They will all be really, really excited for that championship parade that's scheduled for today.
Yeah, World Series title never been celebrated in that part of Texas before. So a great time for Rangers fans to celebrate. I don't know if I know that the second time around in Minnesota when the Twins had won, they had greased the light poles to keep people from climbing up the light poles in celebration. So I don't know if they're doing that in Texas this time or not.
Well, I'd be curious because that's somebody's job. So somebody was the pole greaser. That's a strange job to have for a day. But, you know, I also wonder, like, you know, when something like this happens, like, how far in advance do you have to kind of put PTO in for that? Do you kind of, like, in lieu of trying to, you know, figure out, like, if they win or if they don't win, cancel it? Or can they just, does everyone just expect, hey, no one's showing up, so just forget.
Sorry, boss. It's called sick days,
yeah.
Boss.
Yeah. Can we still?
Glenn, you can't grease the trees. I remember for the Cubs championship parade, people were climbing up on the trees just to get a better view of the Cubbies and their motorcade and their team buses they were going by. You know, 5 million people showed up for that parade on Chicago's lakefront that I took my son to, something I'll never forget. So I'm sure that this first ever world championship parade for the Texas Ranger fans is something they've been waiting for 50-plus years. Since they moved the team to Arlington, it's going to be a big deal. It should be pretty exciting for them.
Well, Glenn, I think we just heard a little hint there. Mr. Zacchaeus here telling us about how him and his son were climbing up trees because they can see the parade better.
Oh, no. You know, we didn't have to. We got there so early that we actually had great views, so we didn't have to climb up in trees.
That's a good cover, John. We'll believe that one.
Honestly,
that's probably what happened.
There were literally people hanging off the trees, you know, just to be able to get a better view of what was happening. I'll never forget it. You know, you wait 108 years, and it's something that is engraved in one's mind for sure. So congratulations again to all the Texas Ranger fans there in the Lone Star State. Meanwhile, this weekend, the clocks are changing. I always remember in the fall, you fall back.
That's right. One of the best nights of the whole year coming up. No, it's not Christmas Eve. It's not New Year's Eve. It's turn the clocks back. You get an extra hour of sleep. But as we noted last hour, Sarah so wisely said, you still have to go to bed at the regular time if you want to gain that extra hour. Or, you know, you think, hey, it's an extra free hour to stay up later. Or if you happen to work overnights on the radio, for example, on that shift, you got to put an extra hour of work in because you have to, like, redo the 2 a.m. hour. And so all these complications. But don't forget to turn it back on Saturday night this week.
Yeah, and, you know, for those of you that don't use the old-fashioned alarm clocks like I still do, I guess they kind of change by themselves on the smartphones.
Yeah, those digital ones. It's nice to have them around because, you know, if you're not sure if that's the day that, hey, is this the day that we turn it back? Is this the day? When you wake up, your phone will, you know, let you know. And especially if you're using the alarm on your phone and you actually have a charge, you should be all set. So that's a nice little safeguard that we have there. But yeah, then you got to go around the house and, you know, get on those vaults and vaulted ladders and such to climb up there. Make sure you turn back every single one and all the electronic ones. Those are always the last ones, I feel like, for me to do, because I got, you know, just all these buttons to press. Oh, gosh. And it's too much work.
Yeah, wait 6 months, you'll be fine.
That's it, right? Especially the ones in the car. That's the hardest thing. I feel like my husband will never change the clock in the car, so I'm always like an hour off until I just finally get out the manual and figure out how do you change the clock on this thing, and then finally we're back to normal times.
I still don't know how
to change. You can't change the clocks though. If you happen to have farm animals or small children, they're going to get up with the sun either way.
So. Very true. Oh gosh, yeah. It does take a while to reprogram those guys.
Or beagles. My beagle will not get out of bed if it's still dark out. So
he must miss our show every day.
he does. He misses the first
hour. Come on, Blaze. We need all the fans we can get. Come on, get up here.
All right. As always, thanks so much, Sarah and Glenn.
Sure thing, John.
First things first, we always start every hour here on Morning Air, always in prayer, always giving thanks for all the many blessings, and we continue to pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, in a special way for peace in the Middle East. We unite our prayers to those of the Holy Father and all people of goodwill who want to see an end to this war. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air. Every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from 1 Corinthians 2:9. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him." St. Maria Faustina Kowalska had a miraculous vision of heaven that she recorded in her Diary of the Divine Mercy. She was privileged by God to get a glimpse of heaven. Faustina was in heaven in the spirit and saw the inconceivable beauties and the happiness of heaven. And then she understood St. Paul's vision about heaven. This is what our spiritual life is all about. This is what our ultimate goal is all about. It's all about getting to heaven. So let's continue to persevere in the faith and run the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, our Lord. And we always pray with great confidence that prayer from the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. We need to take a short break. When we come back on the other side, Laura Streetman, the executive director of Cincinnati Right to Life, will tell us about the importance of voting no on issue one in Ohio, and this with early voting well underway. So stay with us as Morning Air continues on this first Friday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Like that old clock on the wall that keeps ticking night and day, my heart will keep beating just for you.
So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? Why are we wasting all the time like someone's making more?
And welcome back to Morning Air on this first Friday morning. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's great to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can always email us directly. It's morningair at relevantradio.com. Now, last month, we welcomed aboard our new Relevant Radio listeners in Ohio, since we launched in two new markets in Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio. Tuning in on WNKN 105.9 FM. Welcome aboard, and make sure to tell your friends about Relevant Radio. I feel that this is providential and perfect timing as we approach the November elections next Tuesday, as we continue to ask all of our listeners in Ohio to vote no on Issue 1. Early voting is underway for Ohio citizens on Issue 1, a ballot measure that would make abortion a constitutional right in the state. In fact, early voting is on track to exceed the number of people who voted early back in August, with nearly 385,000 Ohioans voting early, according to a Cleveland.com analysis of state data. Now, if adopted this November 7th in this upcoming election, Issue 1 would undo all pro-life laws in Ohio, one of the most pro-life states. Listen to part of this video from Ohio attorney Philip Williamson with Protect Women Cincinnati.
This November, you'll probably be asked to vote on an amendment to the Ohio Constitution. Over the next few minutes, I want to walk you through the language of that proposed amendment and explain why it's dangerous and why ultimately you should vote no on November 7th. Number one, the proposed amendment is deceptive, and it hides an extreme, almost completely unregulated abortion regime with a bunch of things that sound perfectly innocent. Number two, this proposed amendment is a direct attack on parents' rights to protect their children. Number three, the proposed amendment opens the door to puberty blockers, so-called gender transition or gender-affirming care, and more, all without parental consent or even notification. And fourth, it would authorize abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. And in every single case, the abortion provider gets to decide whether an abortion is legal.
I recently spoke to Laura Streetman, the executive director of Cincinnati Right to Life, about voting no on Issue 1 in Ohio. Good morning, Laura. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Good morning and welcome to Ohio, all your new listeners on our stations here. We're glad you're here and thanks for having me to continue to discuss and encourage people to pray and encourage people to get out and help us make sure this is a victory against Issue 1 in Ohio. It's a really difficult time, a very prayerful time for all of us that are working on the front lines to make sure that our beautiful state of Ohio is protected from this diabolical amendment.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about this amendment, but I'm sure there's people out there who still don't understand exactly what it's about, what's involved, what's at stake. Can you share with us further about Issue 1 in Ohio?
I sure can. Well, Philip Williamson filmed that video for us in the spring, and he is a devout Catholic attorney, and we're so glad for his pro-life voice. But to kind of get you to why we are where we are today, let's remember that Ohio is the foundation of the pro-life movement. Cincinnati Right to Life, we're celebrating our 50 years. Dr. Wilkie and his wife Barbara founded the pro-life movement right here in Cincinnati. And Cincinnati Right to Life stems from their foundation of understanding in the late 60s and early 70s the attack on the dignity of the human person. We know Ohio is a pro-life state. But, you know, the journey of events is for 8 to 9 years. We fought here in the state to get our Ohio heartbeat law into law. It was a bill and we got it into law and Governor DeWine signed that into law in April of 2019. Of course, Roe was precedent, so it never was put in place. But then when Roe was overturned by the Dobbs decision, the heartbeat law was in place from the beginning of July of last year until mid-September when Hamilton County, which is down here in southern Ohio, where your new listeners in Ohio are, ruled that there was a right to abortion in Ohio's constitution. So the heartbeat law was then put on pause and abortions through 22 weeks were started again in Ohio. And in last year and the calendar year of 2022, there were 18,488 abortions in the state of Ohio and that were reported. And there were 342 that were performed 19 weeks and more in Ohio. But the pro-aborts, knowing how pro-life our state is, wanted to make sure that they enshrined permanently the right to abortion, not only abortion, but to extend it past viability to full-term abortion in our state. And that's where they authored this amendment. No one is taking claim for exactly who authored this issue one, but it is assumed that it was a team of lawyers for Planned Parenthood and the ACLU that, again, as Philip Williamson explained in his legal speaking, that this would permit abortion through 9 months in Ohio, enshrined into our Constitution. It would bypass all the legislators, and it would be virtually impossible to remove from our state's founding document the right to kill a preborn child through 9 months. And there's just nothing as horrible, John, as I know you know, and we are fighting and praying and working and getting the truth out about this.
Well, Laura, we know that it is absolutely a battle against Planned Parenthood, the ACLU, not only in Ohio, but I would imagine on a national basis. I mean, it's like the forces of the pro-abortion movement are converging on Ohio.
That's exactly right. Because what happens here, you know, they want this to be their seventh state where they enshrine it into a constitution. So goes Ohio, so goes the nation. And if we can stop this movement here in Ohio, then maybe we'll have success next year when, you know, it's reported that they'll be trying to do this in pro-life Missouri, pro-life Florida, and in other states, enshrine the right to full-term abortions while removing parental consent in those other beautiful states. So Ohio is critical, and it's like a war, you know, it's like the American Revolution or the Civil War. This is literally a battlefront for the dignity of the human person and the preborn child.
Laura, can you talk a little bit about all the misinformation on abortion that is going on in Ohio, and not just Ohio, but really across the nation?
Right. Well, one of the number one things that really puts fear in women's hearts, you know, young women of childbearing age, and I understand any woman that's been pregnant or had a miscarriage or suffered a loss, you know, they're giving them fear that if this law does not pass, you will not be able to receive treatment for miscarriage or ectopic pregnancy, which is the only thing you can say about it. It's just a big fat lie from the pit of hell. There's no truth to it. And they're using that falsehood to make women afraid to vote their way, to vote yes. Just think about it. If a woman is miscarrying and she enters an emergency room and the doctor does an ultrasound and understands that he's got to treat her because she could possibly be having severe medical complications, he's not going to deny her that help. It's just, there's no way to say it except it's just a lie. There's no truth. In all 50 states in America, it is legal to treat women for miscarriage or for ectopic pregnancy care. That has nothing to do with this amendment. This amendment is completely and fully about wanting abortions to be legal up to the moment of birth. And it's also frightening, John, as listeners may be aware, the word woman or mother is not mentioned anywhere in this amendment. The very first Section A says every individual. And what that means and what the Supreme Court has ruled in past cases, as again, if you go to Protect Women Cincinnati, where we have the video of the attorney, Philip Williamson, he breaks down the legal language. Every individual allows for minors without parental consent. If they meant a woman or a mother, then why didn't they just put that word there? Every woman has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. But I think it goes even further when you hear that every individual. What's to stop a man from forcing a woman to abort his baby that he doesn't want, that perhaps she wants to carry? Because again, it's every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions, including but not limited to. And that's where it goes on with that list of five things. And it tries to slide abortion in there so sneakily, you know, as if contraception, fertility treatment, continuing one's own pregnancy and miscarriage care, all of those things are legal and always have been legal. And then, number five, by the way, is abortion. And the deception is real and it's intentional. It's very intentional because they know what language has held up in the court of law over lawsuits. So all Ohioans obviously should be voting no on issue one. Leave the status quo as it is. We have abortion right now through 22 weeks. We do not need full-term abortion in Ohio. We don't need any abortion in Ohio, obviously, for us real pro-lifers. But right now, the truth is we have a lot of abortion in Ohio, and we don't need more.
Laura, Mary is joining us this morning from Austin, Texas. Mary, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Laura Streetman, the executive director of Cincinnati Right to Life.
Hi, would you please tell me what the heartbeat law is?
It states that abortions in Ohio are illegal when there is a detectable heartbeat, which is anywhere between 6 and 7 weeks. We know that a preborn baby's heart starts beating between 18 through 22 days. You can look that up on the Mayo Clinic and other medical websites. That is a medical fact, but is detectable between 6 and 7 weeks. So abortion in Ohio was banned for 2.5 months when there was a detectable heartbeat on babies. And because of that, our abortion rates were lowered about 15.25% from 2021 to 2022. But, of course, the pro-abort sued over the heartbeat law, and a Hamilton County, which is the county where I live in Cincinnati, a common pleas judge ruled that it was in fact wrong and there was a constitutional right to abortion in Ohio's constitution. So right now it is not in place. It was overruled, and we still have abortion through 22 weeks in Ohio. So that is what the heartbeat law in Ohio was. I hope that helps explain it further.
Thanks, Mary. We go to Dennis, who's with us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, good morning. So good to have Relevant Radio in Cincinnati. I was listening on the app last week, trending show, and somebody called in going door to door in Cincinnati, said that even though people can be pro-abortion, once they hear that if an abortion that goes wrong happens and the baby is born, it still can be killed, and that's murder, and that's drawn the line for a lot of the people who side with abortion. So if people realize this, then they will vote the pro-life way, I think. I just wanted to make that comment.
I agree with you. I think that's absolutely true. We have door knockers out across the state. We are using an app that's synced, so all door knockers across the state are not duplicating doors. And that is absolutely what we've seen anecdotally when we knock on doors, that some people who believe abortion is okay in the first trimester, they are not okay when it goes beyond viability, and they're not okay with removing the protections for babies that are born alive during abortion. And we know, of course, this happens.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate the call. Laura, final moments here. This is the moment of truth. All hands on deck. The early voting has begun. November 7th is coming up really quickly. Just your thoughts.
We encourage all pro-lifers to get out and go vote in person at your county board of elections if you can. The early vote matters. You know, we don't want people being discouraged by numbers from the other side, so they stay home. You've got to make sure you try to vote early in person, or make sure you get to the polls on November 7th and vote no to keep full-term abortion with the removal of parental consent and all the health and safety protections for women that Cincinnati Right to Life and other organizations have fought so hard for the past 50 years. Those would be overturned. We ask you to fast. We ask you to pray. And Cincinnati Right to Life has tons of information on our website. And we actually have printed cards at our organization. People can stop by. We're asking everyone but say to try to convert 5 people to make them vote no from their yes vote. And we have the information to help you do that.
And that was my recent conversation with Laura Streetman, the executive director of Cincinnati Right to Life. If you are listening to us on our new Relevant Radio stations in Cincinnati and Dayton this morning, make sure to vote no on Ohio's Issue 1 in early voting or on November 7th, this coming Tuesday. This vote, I can't begin to tell you, is so important, not only for the state of Ohio, but for the rest of our nation. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Carol and Pete Tomaselli, community coordinators of RetroVi of Chicago, will be with us in studio with some suggested changes for a healthy marriage. So stay with us as we are headed down the stretch on this first Friday edition of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
But when will the Catholic Church get with the times, some people say?
Cale Clark.
Well, the Catholic Church isn't concerned about getting with the times, as Peter Kreeft has said so well. The Church doesn't read the times. She reads the eternities. She's concerned about the end times and your eternal soul. She is only concerned with saving your soul and mine. She has no authority to change the teachings of her Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now, other Christian communities think they have the authority to change those teachings of Jesus. And the irony is that people are always complaining the Catholic Church is constantly trying to impose its authority over my life. The Catholic Church actually claims to have far less authority than these other groups do. The Catholic Church is the faithful spouse who will never commit spiritual contraception or divorce by imbibing the potions of our age, changing our Lord's teachings to suit the ways of the world.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
Today's show is sponsored by Colby Academy. With more than 40 years of experience in Catholic home education, Colby Academy offers a blend of classical Catholic curriculum and the latest educational technology. More information at relevantradio.com/Colby.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This will be an everlasting love. This will be.
Love is in the air. Welcome back to Morning Air on the memorial of St. Martin de Porres, the first black saint in the Americas. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and producer Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this first Friday morning. You can always send us an email directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. You can find us on social media on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Want to also remind you that in this month of November, if you haven't heard by now, here at Relevant Radio, we remember the holy souls in purgatory, our family and friends who have passed from this earthly life in a special way. Join us today through November 10th as we continue to pray a special novena for your departed loved ones during daily mass, the chaplet, and the family rosary. Submit the names of all your deceased friends and family today. Do it, in fact, this morning at relevantradio.com/souls. I can tell you firsthand, I did it last week, took a moment, thought about all the people that I loved that have gone on to the next world, and I'm constantly praying for them, beginning with my father. So every one of you, in your own respective way, can do the same. And that means whether you know a few holy souls or lots of holy souls, you can submit them all. There is no limit as to all of them. Every one of them need our prayers. So go to relevantradio.com/souls to create your list of departed loved ones. And we're already gathering to pray this novena. It started November 2nd. It continues through the 10th during Mass at noon Central, the Chapel of Divine Mercy at 3 p.m. Central, and the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central. On the air, on the app, and at relevantradio.com. I also want to remind you that if you have missed any part of any one of our shows or any segments that caught your attention and you want to go back and listen to any one of our conversations or download and share any of our Morning Air podcasts, all you have to do is go to the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com. Now, here in these final moments this morning, we're going to talk about making changes for a healthy marriage. We just talked about Thanksgiving in the previous hour this morning with Father Bob Pagliari. Holidays like Thanksgiving or Christmas can be quite difficult for marriages. What can married couples do to have a healthy marriage in order to have a better Thanksgiving feast? Joining us live in studio are Carol Carol and Pete Tomaselli, community coordinators of Retrovi of Chicago, to share some suggested changes for a healthy marriage. These are really practical, so take some notes and perhaps you can start applying them today. Let me tell you about Pete and Carol. They attended their Retrovi weekend back in August of 2012. That was 11 years ago. They have three adult children, two daughter-in-laws, and a brand new grandson that just came just the other day. Also, I want to invite our listeners real quick. If you've changed something in your own marriage that helped your marital relationship for better, or if somehow you saved your marriage thanks to Retrovi, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Carol and Pete on our Catholic Order of Foresters toll-free line at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. After that lengthy intro, welcome, Pete and Carol. It's great to see you guys here in studio.
Great to be here.
Great to be here, John. Thank
for,
you.
For sure. Now,
this place is so fun at this hour.
Oh,
I love this place.
There's lots of love in the air, as Sarah.
Love is in the air.
Love is in the air. Sarah had that lovely bumper to start our segment for sure. Now, speaking of love, you guys have some fabulous ideas, compliments of Retrovi that can really help married couples to make some changes. I like to think of it almost like a change at the line of scrimmage in football. You know,
audible.
I mean, you know, I always look at the world. Yeah, exactly. An audible. I always look at the world, you know, through a sports lens. So we're going to try to get through a number of them here this morning. No worries, whatever we can't get through, because it is a long list of suggestions. We'll get to them the next time around. So let's begin with Carol. What is the first suggested change for a healthy marriage?
Well, I would have to say that the very first change is that these are I statements. These are things that I can change. This is not for me to go back to my spouse and say, hey, honey, can you start doing this to me? It's to begin with the change in yourself. And so the very first one is to make a point of greeting your spouse when you come home from work with a kiss, a hug, or simply a hello. And if you're working from home, you know, it's time that maybe you get up and you stop what you're doing and you greet the other spouse. Or if you arrive home and you might judge that your spouse might still be on a work call, you can go up to the office and pop in and say, hi, sweetheart.
Yeah, and I mean, it can be a hug, it can be a kiss, and I was joking with Sarah during the break. You want to make sure that you kiss your wife before you kiss your dog.
Always.
My beagle gets really jealous. He wants what we call in Spanish a pico as well.
Is this the same beagle that won't get up before dark?
This is the same beagle. This would be Blaze the beagle.
Or we'll get up till sunrise or something.
He is quite famous here. But, you know, all joking aside, it's really a very sensible practice. I mean, just a simple greeting can go a long way.
And you take it for granted at some time, you know? So it's always important to go that extra step of saying hello.
And you know, John, we learned from our children. We had done some remodeling in our home, but before that, our son and his wife and daughter-in-law moved in with us for about a 4 or 5 week period while they were doing a little bit of remodeling in their home. And my daughter-in-law works from home, and my son works remotely and works out and goes to school. And when he would come back, he would come into the house, and then he would make his wife a nice little, almond milk iced coffee thing that he would shake by hand and everything, and he'd bring it up to her in the office where she was, and that was like his entry into the house. So it was really kind of cool to see him doing this, you know. And they've been married for,
3 years.
The little things can go a long way. All right, what's the second suggested change for a healthy marriage? Pete, we'll let you take this one.
Well, you know, it says phone your spouse when you're going to be later than expected. And I think that the word phone is kind of broad. So, I mean, text, email, something like that. But just make them aware that, you know, the schedule's off and what was expected is kind of changing. Call that audible, as you said. and let the line of scrimmage know what's going on, so you don't end up doing an end around and getting blitzed.
Carol, it's really a matter of just being courteous. I mean, just out of courtesy for you, for your loved one, for your spouse. You know, this reminds me, I'll never forget the time, you know, Cindy and Joseph were in Omaha, Nebraska, and they were with a bunch of friends, and they went on her brother's boat, and I had no idea they were on the boat, and they forgot the cell phones. And so they didn't have the phone. So all day long, I'm worried to death. I had no idea where they were at. And I mean, I was going out of my mind wondering what in the world happened to them. And sure enough, you know, about 10 o'clock at night, she calls me. Hey, no worries. We're having a great time. We're on the boat. Just an example of why a little phone call or even a text would have taken away all that angst.
What does our Lord say about worrying, John?
Exactly. Yes. Don't worry, just pray.
Exactly. Just pray. Exactly.
You got it. All right. What about the third suggested change for a healthy marriage?
So it's kind of simple to just use their name. You know, everybody likes to hear their name. So it's, you know, a lot better than just assuming they're going to come over here. Then, so if I say Pete, thank you.
Or sweetheart. I've become,
or sweetheart.
I answer
honey.
That a lot. Yeah.
Honey, I called Cindy my honey. That's yeah. That's what I like.
I love that.
Yeah, I think this one is like right out of Dale Carnegie, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? The one's name is the most important word in the English language to a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, if you know, it begins at home. So I guess, you know, calling your spouse by their name is a really good practice. All right. What about the fourth suggested change that we need to make in our marriage?
This one kind of strikes home to me, and I told Carol that we were talking about it on the way here. Try to be home for dinner, making family dinner a priority. And that was like the basis of my entire childhood was family dinner. So I had a stay-at-home mom and a, you know, breadwinner father. And it was kind of like written in the code of the family that we were having dinner at 6 p.m. We were all going to be there. And so I kind of, you know, modeled my life around that. And I was encouraged to go to work and get a profession and work for myself, which I was able to do. And raised our family the same way up until a point where I had this opportunity to change the direction of my profession a little bit, change the office hours. And I was going to make more money, but I was never going to be home for dinner. And of course, I said, that sounds like a great idea, which was probably the worst decision I'd made in my entire career, maybe in my entire life. And almost as a direct result of that, or definitely as a direct result of that, my family life and marriage took a nosedive. And I kind of think back to that and I reflect on that and I think, what the heck was I thinking when I made that move? And so, I mean, I think that is paramount. That's like a cornerstone to a good marriage and a good family life, is to have that family dinner time together.
And so, of course, Pete, you have made that change, that
Absolutely.
Audible at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I'm home a little too often now, maybe. But
Carol, what about the importance of just gathering around the table, you know, saying grace and being together as a family, you know, with your spouse, not on a coffee table watching the news in the other room?
Exactly. You know, it's very nice to, we don't even have TV on in our house when we're having dinner. It's like,
oops.
You could create it as a date night, you know? I mean, every night could be a date night now that the kids are gone.
Yeah, so. I say oops because sometimes I'll put on the news in the background, kind of like background music while we're having dinner, even though we are gathered together in the big dining room. But you can hear, like, if there's a breaking news story. So maybe I need to unplug and not have the TV on.
I think that's what we heard. Yeah, turn that off, John.
I think that sounds like a good suggested change.
Carol and I were out to dinner somewhere. I forget where it was. And we were in Paris. And
Paris.
And I said, what do you notice about this restaurant? You know, we were just having such a great time with the other couple that we were with. And I said, what do you notice about this restaurant? And Carol looked around and I was like, there's no television. And, you know, it was kind of like an aha moment for both of us.
It was not a sports bar.
No, apparently. You know, And it was just such a pleasant dinner. Everything about it was great. It was so much better not having that silly distraction.
All right, our number, if you want to be a part of our conversations on some of the changes, and these are really easy to do to make your marriage much better, 888-914-9149. We go to Larry, who is joining us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Larry, welcome. You're on with Carol and Pete.
Hey, just wanted to say that my wife and I attended a retrovi almost 20 years ago, and it really did save our marriage. But one of the tenets that we really took away from it was love is a decision. It's a decision you've got to make every minute, every day, every hour, every week. Just decide to love that person and all the other people in your life.
Amen.
Larry, amen is right. Love, trust, forgive, and commit. Those four decisions are the backbone of retrovi, and it will do any couple well to do that. Thank you for sharing that with us and for letting us know how that program has worked for you. It's early in New Mexico, isn't it?
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it, Larry. Thanks so much for sharing a very short but little reminder.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to the fifth change for a better marriage.
So it's give up a singles activity that separates you from your spouse and causes discord. And so it's kind of when we talked about the healthy habits last time, just choosing to kind of like review your calendar to kind of like confirm that you can be together more frequently and honor each other's commitment and time to one another. And so, you know, if it's every night going out to softball or something, maybe you could eliminate a day or two.
What about girls' night out? My wife, it comes up with these, hey, it's girls' night out.
Well, if it's not causing discord in your relationship and it gives you the opportunity to maybe go to a recollection or do something that's positive, then that's a fine thing, as long as it doesn't cause discord.
Carol's girls' night out is a lot different than many girls' night outs. There's not a lot of woo girls out there doing shots. You know, it's kind of funny because I comment on that regularly, that Carol's night out is Eucharistic adoration or going to recollection, you know, formation or even confession. You know, and I'm like, you could.
You know, that reminds me, you know, when we were dating, we used to stop at the Blessed Sacrament on our way to dinner.
Right.
Can you believe it?
5 o'clock Mass for us.
A quick prayer.
5 o'clock Mass on date night would be Carol and I.
For sure. The great, great stuff. All right. What's the sixth change that we should do if we want to have a healthy marriage?
Well, it says make a point of saying good night. And I remember going to one of Father Rocky's talks. Did I mention that I love Father Rocky? We went to Father Rocky's talk, and it was the marriage insurance. And I sat there, and I was like, I'm doing none of these. I'm like 0 for 12 on this thing, you know? And the one that he said was, you know, say goodnight and go to bed together.
At the same time.
And I was like, go to bed together? I mean, who does that? It was just so foreign to me, you know? And, but I think that, and Carol and I do that now. We've been doing it for a while. And most of the time, Carol is struggling to stay awake at a particular hour so that we can get to bed together. Or I'll disappear, you know, I'll disappear at 7:30 or 7:45 and end up going to bed early, and those nights create a little bit of separation. So we do it as best as we can to try to get to bed at the same time, and it works out great.
What about when one is a night owl and the other one is not,
Carol?
Well, that's kind of some of the issues that we had. So anyway. The idea is to kind of just circle back and see what you can do. We go through Relevant Radio's app. The In Conversations with God is like a wonderful way to kind of bring yourselves together and end your day.
Great stuff. Great suggestions. Really appreciate the two of you being here with us, Carol and Pete. Have yourselves a very blessed weekend together.
Thank you, John.
Carol and Pete Tomaselli, community coordinators of Retrovi of Chicago. And, of course, you can find out much more about Retrovi. Visit help OurMarriage.org for much more. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called In Life or Death. George Attlee was killed while serving with the Central African Mission. There were no witnesses, but the evidence indicates that Attlee was confronted by a band of hostile tribesmen. He was carrying a fully loaded 10-round Winchester rifle and had to choose either to shoot his attackers and run the risk of negating the work of the mission in that area, or not defend himself and be killed. When his body was later found in a stream, it was evident that he had chosen the latter. Nearby lay his rifle, all 10 rounds still loaded. He'd made the supreme sacrifice, motivated by his burden for lost souls and his unswerving devotion to his Savior. With the Apostle Paul, he wanted Christ to be magnified in his body, whether by life or by death. Writing on Philippians in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Robert Leitner said Paul's concern was not what would happen to him, but what testimony would be left for his Lord. Release would allow him to continue preaching Christ, but martyrdom would also advance the cause of Christ. Philippians 1:20 says, "My eager expectation and hope is that I shall not be put to shame in any way, but that with all boldness, now as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death."
Thank you, as always, Glenn. You never cease to amaze me with yet another powerful story corner. In this month of November, let's honor the Mother of God by praying the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky for the souls of our departed family members and loved ones. 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Remember, as Father Rocky says every night, the family that prays together stays together. That'll do it for this Friday edition of Morning Air. For producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Monday on the next edition of Morning Air. Have yourselves a great and blessed weekend. The Patrick Madrid Show is warming up in the bullpen.